Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, as this time is now sanctified unto you and is the preaching of your word, we pray for the sake of your holy word that we who are your people would be empowered to receive it, to understand it, Lord, and to offer you our worship with reverence and awe, not only in word, but in terms of our whole bodies, in terms of our whole lives. And so now we pray, Father, that you would show us and teach us what it means, Lord God, to be conformed more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to worship you in a manner that is good and pleasing to you, our Savior, our God, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up what we left off in the third chapter of this epistle as we resume our study of verse 12. In the previous message of this series last week, we were reminded of God's purpose for choosing us and appointing us to eternal life in his Son. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to be holy. And so we are called in the opening portion of verse 12, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And so last week, we were reminded about the essential meaning of holiness. To be holy is to be separated from the world and set apart for God as a people being renewed after his image. And so we refer to Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. To be holy, then, is to reflect the image of God with a growing clarity that is lacking among the people of the world. While it's true that all people are created in God's image, as we pointed out last week, that image has been radically distorted by sin. And so at the point of salvation, God does something remarkable. God initiates the recovery of his image in us. As we were reminded in our previous message, God does this by first taking away the stony heart of spiritual death and giving us a new heart towards him. And then what does he do? And then he continues to transform us in progressive conformity to his own image throughout our lives by the power of his Spirit living in us. And that's an honor. That's a privilege that God would choose us from out of the world, appoint us to eternal life, create us, open our hearts to his gospel, forgive our sins and accept us, and put his Spirit within us for the purpose of transforming us in his likeness. We are believers in Christ Jesus today. Our God-given purpose is to grow in holiness. And since it's the great purpose for which we were saved, and since our Lord lives in us to empower us to fulfill that great purpose, let us apply, do, carry out what our text commands us today. And so we read, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We must put on these characteristics because these are the characteristics of our Lord, of our Creator, as His gospel so clearly testifies. We must put off the ways of a world in stone-hearted rebellion against Christ. And those ways of a rebellious world were summarized for us earlier in this chapter, and we analyzed them over the past couple weeks. So we must put those ways off, and we must put on the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read in Romans 13:13-14, "Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the rebellious ways of an unbelieving world. Put on the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our text is teaching us. So when I wake up in the morning, there are times I feel anxious. And the reason why I feel anxious, it may sound kind of superficial, but I get anxious about what I'm going to wear today. Now, I want to wear clothing, first of all, that's going to do a good job concealing this surgical scar on my neck. Not all of my clothing does a good job of doing that. So I'm thinking, what am I going to wear to cover up that scar? I don't have to worry about it on Sundays. I'm wearing this tie. It's great. But throughout the week, I'm thinking about that. And sometimes I get anxious about it. And as some of you may know, I take my daughter to a daycare at a rather large Korean church. And so I'm thinking about my daughter, too. I want to look presentable so that her teachers and the other parents I bump into don't think I'm unkempt and slovenly. I'm her father. I want them to think well of her because of me. And of course, I'm thinking about the surgical scar too. And so, maybe we too, at times, feel anxious, concerned about the clothing we put on each morning. We want to look presentable. We want to look fashionable. We want to wear clothing that is flattering to our body. But how often do we wake up in the morning anxious and eager to put on the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our clothing is important to us because it's a major part of how we present ourselves to others, regardless of what we choose to wear. Our King requires that we present ourselves to others in accord with His own likeness. In fact, that's His command to us. To do so fulfills the purpose of our salvation and His obedience to Christ our King. And so first of all, we are told in our text to put on compassionate hearts. To put on the likeness of Christ involves putting on a compassionate heart. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Well, what is meant by compassion? In the original language, the word translated as compassionate in our text is oikthermos. In Romans 12:1, that same word is translated as mercies. And it's used to describe God's saving grace towards His people. It's Romans 12:1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." All that God has done for us, for our salvation, are expressions of His mercies or compassion towards us. He could have dealt with us as our sins deserve, and He would have been right and just to have done so. But in His grace, God set his love on us, chose us to receive salvation in his Son. In his grace, he sent his Son into the world to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf and to bear our sins upon himself in order that he might suffer and die in our place. In his grace, as we were reminded last week, at the appointed time, he opened our hearts to his gospel and gave us the gift of faith, so that we may receive forgiveness and acceptance for the sake of what Christ has done for us. And in his grace, God put his Spirit in us to empower our holiness and to seal us as his own. So we know that God has dealt with us compassionately. The compassion of God towards all who trust in his Son is captured perfectly in Psalm 103, 10 to 13. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So in view of God's mercies, in view of his compassion, what is the appropriate response? Well, Scripture teaches us that the appropriate response is worship. Worship, not only with words, but with our whole bodies. Bodies. Do we think of our body when we think of worship? Romans 12:1, we read it just a few moments ago. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And we read in Romans 6:13 that whole aspect of worshiping with our bodies broken down into its elements. Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Members, referring to our parts. Body parts. We must no longer present our minds, our eyes, our mouths, our hands, our feet, and the other part of our bodies to sin as instruments for impurity and evil, as we once willingly and gladly did back when we were hardened and unbelieving towards God in Christ Jesus. Having been raised a new person with a transformed heart towards God, we must present the various parts of our bodies to God as instruments for righteousness. When we do this, we're told in Romans 12:1, we are worshiping. This is our spiritual worship. So if we're believers today, and we want to offer to God spiritual worship, worship that is not superficial, worship that is not merely just going through the motions and empty, worship that the Lord is pleased with, what do we do? We present our whole bodies to Him. Sadly, and I say this from experience because, as some of you may know, I had spent some time as years back when I first started ministry as a worship pastor. I led praise in various churches for many years. And so out of experience, my own personal experience, I say that there are many churchgoers that think spiritual worship has to do with how emotionally worked up you get during a church service. The music is intense. People clap their hands. They may even cry. They feel this kind of emotional intensity within. And as long as that happens, they've done spiritual worship as far as they're concerned. And then throughout the week, they're quite happy and content to use their tongues to curse and revile and slander people, their eyes to lust and to covet, their hands to browse filth on the internet, their minds to ruminate on their grudges and evil thoughts, and their bodies to commit sexual impurity and immorality. That's the furthest thing from spiritual worship. Spiritual worship happens when believers are struck by the mercies of God lavished on them in Christ Jesus, in His saving grace. And out of love and thanksgiving towards Him, they present themselves to God as instruments of righteousness. That's spiritual worship. It involves the emotion, but involves far more than just the emotions. It involves our entire bodies. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Minds, eyes, mouths, hands, feet. Presenting them to God as instruments of righteousness. The essence of this spiritual worship is expressed in that famous hymn by Francis Havergal. I looked it up. It is in the Trinity hymnal. You know, I don't know if we ever sang it. Maybe one day we will. But here are a couple verses from that hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from thee. And I think that sort of captures the essence of what it means to offer our members, our whole bodies up to God as spiritual worship. We desist from presenting the parts of our bodies to sin as instruments for evil, impurity, wickedness. That's what we once did. We did it gladly. We did it willingly. Back when we were unbelieving towards Christ. But now we must cease, desist from that way of life. To worship God spiritually is to now present the various parts of our bodies to God. No more to sin, to God as instruments for righteousness. So Romans 12:1 is talking about how to respond to God's compassion towards us with spiritual worship. But as far as God's compassion itself is concerned, it refers to the mercy of His saving grace. He did not deal with us according to our sins, but instead, out of His mercy towards us, He sent His Son to save us from our sins. So to put on a compassionate heart, then, is to reflect God's profound concern for our salvation when we look at others. In the original language, a word translated as hearts, compassionate hearts, is, it's a funny sounding word, it's splankna, and it means internal organs. Figuratively, it refers to deeply felt emotions, because that's where we feel it, right? When we feel something strongly, we feel it inside, we feel it in our gut, we feel it in our stomach, we feel it in our heart. What do we feel down there? What do we feel within? The natural human tendency is to respond to the wrongs done to us with deep, simmering anger. Just burns. Day in and day out. It leads to all kinds of evil. It's an evil in and of itself, and it leads to even worse evils like grudge-bearing, malice, hatred. But now, if we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to put on His character, we must renounce deeply felt resentment and bitterness towards others. And in place of these things, put on deeply felt yearning for people's salvation. Just as God did not deal with us according to our sins, but forgives us and transforms us through His Son, so we must long for all people to find the same mercies in Christ which we ourselves have received. We must adopt an entirely new way of regarding people that reflects the deep concern for our salvation that God had for us, even while we were in the darkness of spiritual death and unbelief. Our view of people must reflect the way Christ viewed the crowds who came to hear Him. Mark 6:34, when He went ashore, He saw a great crowd and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Out of His compassion for the great crowd, our Lord began to teach them many things. Out of our compassion for the people around us, as ignorant confused and led astray as that great crowd was back then, we must bring to them the same teachings of our Lord in hope that they too will believe the gospel, receive the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and thereby receive this gift of eternal life. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. God willing, next Sunday we'll consider the remaining items listed in verse 12 of our text. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, we pray that we who have been appointed to eternal life, who have been chosen, whose hearts have been opened to the gospel, who trust in Christ Jesus, the Lord, we pray that we would listen. And so we were taught the meaning of your compassion for us. We are who we are because of your compassion, which is so clearly manifest, supremely manifest in your saving grace in Christ Jesus, your Son. And so we pray, Lord, that we would reflect that compassion towards others, that we would feel deep within that compassion. But we know, Lord, that the world is eaten up within with anger, wrath, malice, hatred. We must put those things away and now put on compassionate hearts, reflecting your concern for our salvation to people who are around us, within our own families, among our neighbors, co-workers, friends. And furthermore, Lord, we had learned what it meant to worship you spiritually. And that involves presenting our bodies to you. Far more than just emotions, our bodies, our members, the members of our body, the parts of our bodies, to no longer present them to sin as instruments for evil, unrighteousness, but to present them to you as instruments for righteousness, godliness, purity, and holiness. And so we pray for strength to do that. We pray, Lord, that we would be so struck by your compassions manifest to us in Christ Jesus, that in your saving grace we see your glory manifest so brightly, that we would respond with love, thanksgiving, faith, and present our bodies to you as instruments for your glory, for righteousness. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.